This episode is sponsored by Studio Sweden Headphones and Cryptid Crate.
This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org to discover more shows like this one. The darkness awaits.
Everyone, and welcome to our spooky October Halloweenish episodes. I am your host, Toby, and alongside me, I've got my lovely co-host,
Kristen. So where is this going?
And we also have a wonderful producer.
Hello, I am the wonderful and talented and handsome producer, Satan.
I sold my soul to Satan to make the show better, and... he does his job, I guess. And we don't have Addison today, but we do have someone on the show to help us kick this Halloween special off. We have Carl from the Slothman Prophecies. Please say hello.
What's up, viewers? How's it going?
It's going all right. So I think it's kind of funny that today we have decided to do a zombie topic, and we have a Coral. Coral. I was thinking about that earlier. I was like, how ironic is that? So if you don't know what the reference I'm making, Walking Dead, Rick Grimes, always, his son's name is Coral, and he always says it real funny. So
get back, Coral.
Yes. We are going to be talking about some zombie stuff, and I just kind of wanted to kick this off and start it off of, what is your favorite zombie movie or video game or story or something like that? Ooh. Do you have one off the top of your head when you think, when the word zombie comes out, this is what you think of?
The Cranberries song. Because I legitimately love the Cranberries a lot. I cried a little bit when Dolores died earlier this year.
Yeah.
It was very sad. But I would say that's number one. And then maybe Hocus Pocus. Does that count as a zombie movie? There's just that one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I do like him.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
Billy. Those are really good choices. Billy, yeah.
Billy, yeah.
Man, those are two that I wouldn't have thought of that now I'm like, damn it, those are two really good choices. Mine are going to seem so lame now.
Well, I've been
now.
Ever since you told me you were going to have me on the show, I've been, what can I possibly say? I've been planning ahead. I've
been practicing. Yeah.
Kristen, what comes to mind when you think of zombies?
When I think of zombies? I don't know. Hold on, try and think. Nothing really comes to mind when you first say zombies to me.
Zombies.
Oh, I do know.
There we go. See, I clicked it.
Okay. It's, whatchamacallit, the video game. The one that I really like.
Silent
Which
Hill.
Which one is that?
No.
Call of Duty?
The one in the mall.
No.
Dead Rising?
No, not Dead Rising.
She said yes!
Wait, that's the one in the mall, right?
Dang Dead it. Rising? I can't think of it.
Yeah, Left 4 Dead. That's a great one.
No, it's the island. What's the island?
Dead
one?
Island.
Dead Island. There you go. Jesus Christ. Oh, and I think about Twinkies. When you say zombie, I think about Twinkies.
What?
You don't remember?
No.
Woody Allen and Zombieland.
Oh, okay.
He's like, he finds the last Twinkie and he's like,
yeah.
And he like praises it. He's like, there's no more Twinkies.
See, I'm going to go.
Because Twinkies are so bad, they're the only thing that will survive an apocalypse.
Yeah. I would have said like Dawn of the Dead, Return of the Living Dead scared the piss out of me when I was a kid. I always thought that shit was going to happen.
How did no one say Michael Jackson? Thriller.
Oh, yeah. Thriller's a good one, too.
Ooh, yeah.
And, but my, for my video game, I would have said Zombies Ate My Neighbors because I played the piss out of that.
That's like amateur bullshit.
Well, I've played so much Left 4 Dead 2 that it's not even funny. There's so many like finals in college that I almost failed because I was playing Left 4 Dead. It's like, well, if I study for an hour, I can play like 3 rounds of Left 4 Dead 2. And then it's like 6 rounds. It's like, oh gosh.
So basically,
now it's all flooding to me. There's all kinds of stuff that
luckily it was art school,
now.
Right?
You were a zombie to zombie games is what you're saying.
Yeah.
For during
yeah,
college.
If you saw me in October of, I guess it was like 20. Oh God. Oh God. Well, a while back.
It was a long time ago.
Longer than we'll mention. Yeah, I was fully invested in Left 4 Dead 2.
That's funny. Well, did you have something else that came to mind you said, Kristen?
Oh, just a Will Smith movie.
Oh,
I Am Legend?
Yes,
yeah,
I love that movie.
We'll talk about that more in a little while, too, because I got a little bit of notes.
There's a movie called Pontypool that I think is technically a zombie movie, but it's really, it's a little more trippy than most zombie movies. There's like a radio host that and I guess basically a zombie outbreak happens while he's on the air. It's really interesting. It's a real out of the box zombie movie if you want to watch it. Pontypool.
It almost sounds like the Orson Welles the radio play,
War of the Worlds.
It freaked everyone out. War of the Worlds, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Is it got that kind of vibe to it, but zombie apocalypse?
Kind of. He's in the studio pretty much the whole time. Like, he has a weird encounter on the way to the studio, but then he's, like, in the studio, and he keeps getting calls from listeners and stuff, and they're like, oh, God, oh, God, and, like, weird stuff like that. And then pretty soon they, like, don't have any contact with anybody else, and they don't know what's happening, and it's pretty weird. It's pretty weird.
Huh. We'll have to check that out. So let's move to talking about the traits, like what we think of when we think of zombies. Like, you know, it's
oh my God, iZombie. Sorry, go ahead.
It's
all coming to me now.
This is just like our time travel episode.
My blonde moment. It's all flooding to me.
Every zombie thing we can think of. But like, you know, usually when we think of zombies, it's someone that's recently died. They've come back or they were bitten by another zombie or somehow ingested blood or flesh of a zombie.
I've never heard that somebody just dies and comes back. I mean, like, I know that they are infected with a disease or something or an outbreak. Like, I've never heard, like, they reincarnate as a zombie.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but in Night of the Living Dead, that's how it worked. If you died in Night of the Living Dead and you weren't completely dismembered, you came back as a zombie, didn't you?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Because it was like radiation in that one that was making people zombies.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm saying that, see, there's radiation. I thought he meant like he was just saying like you reincarnated into a zombie.
Like, I'm not up to date on the Walking Dead comic books, but like in the show, if everyone has the virus inside of them already. And when you die, it activates that virus. And then you come back as a zombie. That's why when anyone dies, they're immediately a zombie, even if they get bitten or scratched or whatever. But yeah, so that's one way like you become a zombie. It's treated like a virus. You usually see like the skin is rotting and they move with they can still move with a bunch of damage done to their body, and like, you know, they're real slow. They pull their legs and stuff like that.
Brains.
Yes, there you go.
Brains. Yeah, that's what I think of.
And they're usually pretty slow paced until they
pale,
see something they can
bloody.
Eat.
Bloody.
Yeah.
Even though it's really funny because they may not even have no blood on them whenever they died, but also now out of nowhere, all movies portray them that they automatically are losing their skin. And even though you're dead and you don't have any blood flow, they still have blood coming from somewhere. You ever think about that?
Yeah, I guess they would just be like gooey. They wouldn't really be bloody. They'd,
Right.
That's what's so weird. It's like you're dead. You have nothing pumping anything, but it's all coming out.
Why do they think they want brains specifically?
Because they're so dumb that they need smarts.
They need smarts.
I'm sorry, I can't concentrate. My oven's down there beeping every 2 seconds. I can hear it going.
Do you want to run down there? And...
Yeah, I got to go do it because it's going. Beep, beep. I'm sure you're going to pick it up.
We'll cut that little part out.
Don't cut out. I'm going to own it. Okay. We already talked about this.
Well, I'm going to cut out this area where you're missing. So sometimes zombies have like super strength in some of the stories and stuff. Like they don't have normal human restraints on their strength.
Right.
Zombies.
It's like they're so slow, but if they catch up with you, it's game over.
Yeah, it is weird that they just kind of mope around and they're just kind of dragging their feet, and then all of a sudden they see something, and then boom, they get an adrenaline rush, I guess. Maybe they get that mom strength when their child's trapped under a car.
The smell of blood.
Yeah. I like the mom strength zombies.
The adrenaline mom strength.
Are you guys like 28 days later zombie people, or are you like Night of the Living Dead zombie people?
You know, I really think it just depends on the story that's being told.
If it ever happens, I'd rather be Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not 28 days later, because there 100%. Is no fucking way that I'm going to be no Ashton Kutcher on no island with one plane.
My fat ass would not be able to outrun the quick one, so I'm praying for the slow.
Those are like vampire zombies in 28 days later.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole different ball game.
No, yeah. Like running from them. I thought you were supposed to be slow. Crying. This isn't what I read.
So when you think of zombies, what do they sound like to you? Like they grunt, they hiss, they growl, and they don't
gurgle.
Speak.
They just seem tired. That's what it is. That's how I mean. That is. They just seem like they're just exhausted because they've just been scooting around all day long. Like they can't pick up their feet, they can't do anything. Like they're just exhausted.
But then they're always hungry. They're always
so.
Yeah,
my thing
they're teenagers.
Is yeah. So my thing is if a zombie eats, after it eats, it never really shows you after they eat.
Like
do they
digestion?
Go back to being zombies, or are they excited or kind of like pepped up for
take
a second?
Take a nap afterwards.
Yeah, they take a nap. They're so exhausted. They eat and take a nap after eating. You know what I'm saying? They're like, vitamin C or you know whatever it is, but they're like pepped up and they walk a little faster. They never really show that because it's like they only show the attack and then what happens to the person after the attack.
Does it digest through them? Like, what does it do?
Well, I think
for the zombie,
if you guys have ever read DayZ, it's been a long time, but I think one of the stories in that book. They study a zombie that eats a lot and it doesn't ever digest. It's just like a compulsion. And so I think eventually the zombie ends up like just bursting open because it just packs in and becomes so full.
Oh,
it just eats
okay,
itself to death. But that's just DayZ. That's just one, one interpretation.
Right. That's one source.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, when you think of zombies, you think of like a quick virus spreading thing. Like you see the people at the mall or something, they get bit by something and then all of a sudden it bites something. Now there's two of them biting people
It's quick happening. Like they immediately turn into zombies. Like it's not even like a, you know, in vampire stories, like they go to sleep and then like a week later they wake up and they're hungry, or like 48 hours later they wake up and they're hungry. But zombies, it's like a direct quick impact. Like it's you're bit, boom,
right,
you're a zombie.
Well, most of the time they do kind of have to die if they just got bit, because I guess the virus has to have time to pump through your veins and kill you off and then reanimate you and make you hungry for brains.
Don't talk about my vampires like that and stuff like that. Reanimate. Like you it's not fake, Toby. There's gonna be zombies coming. Just wait.
I've actually got them lined up.
And if anybody comes, I hope it's Edward Cullen comes for me or something. Some eclipse vampires.
So it's believed that one of the first references to zombies comes from the world's oldest text called the Epic of Gilgamesh.
Ooh.
Which
I'm proud of you for saying that's so
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've been practicing.
I've been practicing.
Cerebral.
Thank you for noticing.
Brains.
Brains. Yeah.
I had no idea what this story was, so I kind of looked it up. And I guess why people think like this is the first zombie story type thing is...
Outbreak.
Well, it's not an outbreak. It's just a story. Oh, see, I said the one good word, and now I'm going to try to butcher this other one. Ishtar? that's
I starve?
Yeah. Ishtar?
Ashtar?
The goddess of war. Maybe, I don't know. It's the goddess of war, sex, and love.
We did an episode that was mostly alien-based, but there's a lot of Ashtar. The word Ashtar comes up a lot in general weird different things. Anyway.
it's a good catch-all for like anything weird. Like if you want to say something weird, like if you're trying to cast a spell, you can be like Ashtar,
yeah.
And you're like, oh, I believe it. It's a weird word.
It's pretty bizarre, but essentially there was this thing called the Southern Television Broadcast Interruption, and this Looney Tunes cartoon got interrupted and the audio overridden in Britain, and it played this message from Vril Yon of the Ashtar Galactic Command. I don't know if you can hear my finger quotes, but whole message from the Ashtar Galactic Command. Very interesting.
Yeah. Well, in this story, we're going to just say Ashtar because it's a weird word. We like it. Ashtar was rejected by Gilgamesh, and she goes to her father, Anu, the god of the heavens and the sky, and basically threatens him and says, I will knock down the gates of the netherworld, I will smash the doorposts and leave the doors flat down, and I will let the dead go up and eat the living.
Damn.
She threatens her... this is how I interpreted it. She threatened her father if he didn't help get back at Gilgamesh. So
hell has no fury.
No shit. So, and this is because I was really interested in this Gilgamesh story and stuff. So this is maybe a little bit extra. It may not exactly have to do with zombies, but I thought it was interesting. So there's another story that Gilgamesh was kind of hard to handle. So the goddess Aruru, we're gonna call her Aruru. That was right. Yeah, she made a man out of clay named Enkidu,
okay.
And they fight and they end up becoming friends, and they go on all these adventures together, Gilgamesh and Enkidu, but he gets sick and dies, and Enkidu does.
Oh,
this puts Gilgamesh on a quest to find immortality. So he finds this man named, this one's a good one to try to say.
Oh boy.
Utnapishtim. close enough.
Yeah, you're
so he's
brave man.
So this guy's immortal. He's trying to find this guy to become immortal. And after this really long quest and all these battles, he meets him and he tells him that there's no secret. Basically, the gods gave him immortality because he survived the great floods. And yes, this is exactly the same great floods that you'd find in the Bible.
Mm.
So the gods felt sorry for him and gave him and his wife immortality. So there was nothing he could do except he knew of this plant that would make him young again. So Gilgamesh goes and gets the plant. It makes him young again. And the snake steals it.
Ugh.
Kind of like this snake from...
Yeah,
Eden.
Some weird parallels.
Yeah. So, anyways, he's young again, and then all of a sudden, and because I think there's 12 books, I can't remember, but that's like the 10th one or the 11th one, and then all of a sudden, after that, Enkidu, his buddy, is just alive again. So, but it never says like he resurrected him or did anything with that plant to bring him back, but he was just alive again. So, like everything I read was like, yeah, this is like a sequel or. A bonus scene that wasn't in the movie. Yeah, I don't know. So it could be he could have brought him back. Who knows? Because that story never got told, I guess.
Well, Satan, you were there, right? So did you have any insights into this?
Well, let me tell you. he probably made a deal with me, but I've made so many deals over the years that, yeah, I can see that I brought him back. That's all it was. I brought him back.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and speaking of, well, not Satan exactly, but his counterpart, the Bible. The Bible has zombies. Did you know this, Kristen?
No, never heard of it.
Okay, so I'm going to read Zechariah 14:12. And the Lord will send a plague on all the nations that fought against Jerusalem.
You are.
Their people will be like walking corpses, their flesh rotting away. That's what it says.
I really do think you sold your soul to the devil, because you're making fun of the Bible right now.
I'm sitting right here. Are you talking like I'm not in the room?
Always and absolutely forever.
Bitch.
That's right. Your mom.
My mother was a goat, and a beautiful goat at that. Leave her out of this.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Who is your father?
Fat is the fat goat bitch.
I can't reveal all my secrets today.
He doesn't know. Poor Satan was left alone.
Just, you can just say
he's an orphan child.
This is a safe space, Satan.
His goat mother was a whore.
It's personal. Y'all are bringing up stuff that I don't want to... I'm not doing this right now.
That's why you sit in a corner.
That's exactly why. So I've got another passage. Isaiah 26:19 through 20, I guess.
It's just one tiny passage.
I guess.
One
But
paragraph.
Your dead will live. Their bodies will rise. Go, my people. Enter your rooms and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourselves until their wrath has passed us by.
Hmm. Yeah, that definitely sounds like somebody in the middle of Night of the Living Dead.
Yes, exactly.
That kind of sounds like the plague.
I mean, yeah. But if you look at the first one, it's definitely saying the people will be walking corpses with flesh rotting away.
Yeah, the plague.
Ah, I guess you're right. I mean, that's a good point.
Oh, damn.
That's a really good point. They will be like walking corpses. Ah, you got me there.
You just flipped it and reversed it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Missy Elliott.
I'm God-friendly. I don't believe in your Satan. Get behind me there, buddy.
I don't believe in you.
I don't need you to. I already got somebody else for that job. It's the plague. The plague happened. That's what it is.
So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will...
Thank you, Jesus.
We will discuss some of the other cultures and what they believe in zombie stuff. That was real elegant. We will be right back.
That's funny.
What's up, UFOnauts? It's your UFO guy, Rob Christofferson. Have you ever been curious about the UFO phenomenon, but unsure of where to start? Have you ever wondered about just what crashed at Roswell? Have you ever wanted common sense advice about licking UFOs? The answer's don't. Then check out the Our Strange Skies podcast, where we dive into America's rich UFO history and uncover what these sightings say about ourselves. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and most podcast apps, as well as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Don't forget to look up, because you never know what you'll find in our strange skies. In gray we trust.
Real quick, I'd like to tell you about our sponsors, Studio Sweden Headphones. You can go to studio.com and get you a cool pair of headphones, and you can save 15% when you use the promo code SECRET. It's also free shipping worldwide. They're great headphones. They're Bluetooth capable. They have a battery that lasts a really long time. They've got several different styles and colors. We use the Regent style that go over your ears, but they do have the in-the-ear earbuds, and the sound is fantastic. I use them all the time, including when we're recording this show. So go get you a good pair of headphones at studio.com. Use the promo code SECRET for 15% off and free shipping worldwide.
Hello, how's it going, everyone? I'm Kevin, a.k.a. K-Slugs.
And I'm Peter, a.k.a. Duo For Real.
And we host a podcast called The Interstate Gamers. If you've ever wondered how your favorite games might stack up against each other, or you just want to hear some detailed reviews, then our show just might be for you.
On The Interstate Gamers, we discuss and critique everything from the gameplay to the aesthetics to the content of some of our favorite games.
You can find us almost anywhere. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and even your trusty pal Alexa. Follow us on Twitter and make sure to subscribe if you like what you hear. Thanks for listening.
So we are back, and just like the Living Dead, we've returned.
Oh, God.
I just came up with that on the spot. That wasn't planned out before, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be the gut breaker right here.
That was graceful. It's like a swan dive into just a pool of jello.
Yeah.
Why were we both thinking jello for this?
I don't know, because I just thought somebody's sticking there like poof.
So I wanted to talk about some of the cultures that have their beliefs in zombies. And first off, I wanted to kick it off by talking about some of the things that people through history would do to corpses because they were so afraid of a corpse reanimating. They would place like stones on the body, like when they'd bury a body.
Oh, so that they couldn't get up.
Yes, so they couldn't get
weigh
up.
Them down.
They would put bricks in their mouths, so if they did come back alive, they couldn't bite them.
Oof.
They
because their hands couldn't take the brick out,
or because they smashed all their teeth out trying to get the brick in there.
Yeah, that's probably it. No,
ew,
teeth.
Gross. Yeah,
I'll
that's
just
true.
Gum you.
I'm so hungry.
And really, this is why we have coffins. From what I understood, coffins were basically just another way to bolt you into this box, and then you definitely weren't going to come up.
That's funny. I thought that you had coffins because that way bodily fluids couldn't seep into the soil and then get into main lines and cause diseases.
No, from what it sounds like, it originally started like they'd put your body in a coffin and then nail your ass shut so you couldn't.
So some cemeteries, you don't even have to have a coffin.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They buried thus the body.
That's actually
wrapped.
Some of the nuns around here are starting to do green burials, which means they put you in a hole in the
gosh.
Ground. And I'm just like, are you sure
go
this is
green
legal?
On burials.
Can you do this?
That's nuts. Some of them can. Some of them they do. And some people, it's unless it's a very strict cemetery, it's all about religious-based kind of things, too.
Like what your religious beliefs are? Or like
well,
the
yeah.
whole cemetery is like, okay, this is our religious beliefs. You have to bend to us.
Yeah, who was it
here?
That we were riding with and they said, my friend's buried over there.
Oh, that was me.
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
Okay, he wasn't buried.
It was a Muslim cemetery.
Oh, that's right, Muslim cemetery, but
and,
he wasn't Muslim. Never mind.
Yeah, he wasn't Muslim. It's a long story, but yeah, my friends that, you know, pallbeared, I guess, I don't know what it would be called for the Muslim burial rituals. Ceremony. I don't know. Anyways, they carried him in just a blanket and then just lowered him down. And they said that it was the creepiest thing they've ever done.
Yeah, no coffin.
Yeah, no coffin. They just laid him in there and they just pushed dirt over him. It was super bizarre. But anyways, let's get back to talking about zombies.
Oh, what about the coins over their eyes? Did they do that?
Well, that is part of like burial rituals. Passage for.
I just didn't know if they did that. I mean, I know it's like riches.
I think the coins is to pay Charon to take you across the river.
Yeah.
Styx, is that mm-hmm. right? I don't know.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy. I think you should all tip him those coins that are left on your eyes, but he's pretty nice.
Which probably means Satan's getting the coins.
He does share what his tips are with me. It's pretty nice. We do a 50-50 split.
I'm sure the tip's not the only thing he shares with
yeah,
them, but
speaking
that's
of sharing
I'll give
tips,
you the tip.
Anybody got a Twizzlers? Starving.
I don't. You can't join in on the Twizzlers. I mean, it's not that it's fun, but
oh,
I just need someone on my side. Where's Cthulhu? Cthulhu would be on my side.
Absolutely.
It's like a little fishing line flipping around with a tiny lure.
So the word zombie means animated corpse and comes from the Haitian, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
I like the Haiti.
Oh,
Haitian.
The Haitian?
Haitian.
There we go. It comes from the Haitian voodoo religion with roots from Western Africa.
I was about to say that. I wondered if one of the religions was Africa or the cultures was Africa. I could totally see that.
You know, we've done our...
They dress up as it in their... they dress up like with white makeup and dark eyes and like they do all the dances
that's
and stuff.
That's in our voodoo episode, we talked about him. That's Sam... No, I can't remember, but I know who you're talking about. But in this folklore, in the voodoo belief, that they believe that a zombie is someone that died and was brought back to life by some kind of sorcerer or whatever.
Spirit or
whatever the voodoo master,
Bokor.
Voodoo person.
I think it's a Bokor.
That sounds
B-O-K-O-R.
Right.
B-O-K-O-R. I think I briefly glossed in preparation for this episode.
Yeah.
I did 30 seconds of research.
Hey, that's just about as much as I did.
And this is what I can contribute.
You took away Bokor.
But yeah, so basically this sorcerer person would bring you back to life, and then you were under their control. So.
So it's like a witch reviving the dead.
I mean, yeah.
In a spell.
Yeah.
Medicine, yeah.
But then you're under their control.
I think probably the most famous modern zombie case that is like a voodoo type zombie. There was a guy named Clavius Narcissa, and he, let's see, he died and was pronounced dead by two different doctors, I believe. Again, 30 seconds of research on this episode, but he died and was pronounced dead officially. And there were two doctors, and I think one of them went to medical school in the United States, and he and his whole family thought he was dead. But then 12 years later, he showed up just like in the town market, and his sister recognized him and brought him home. And I think it took him a while to get out of the zombie mindset, but eventually he told them, like, I was dead, and then a Bokor, like, brought me out of my coffin and was like, you're my zombie now, you work for me. And they took him to work on a sugar plantation where he was basically a slave, a zombie slave. And then the sugar plantation closed down or whatever, and they just left the zombies to wander around, and he found his way home eventually, which is really crazy, because that means all the other slaves on this plant, like all the other guys who were zombies, just who knows where they ended up, you know, because presumably
right.
Everybody just wandered around and he happened to subconsciously wander back home. But
and you said it took a little while for him to like fully be like, oh, this is who I am.
Yeah.
Like something brought him back there, but he had no idea what he was doing there.
Yeah, if I recall, he was still in a trance when he got there and didn't really remember anything. And it was only after they, you know, had him for a while and talked to him and stuff that he remembered being who he was.
Right. See, and it makes you wonder, like, did the rest just, you know, kind of lead a homeless life or something after that? You know, if all this is true, like
they probably wouldn't sound,
because that would
wife.
Be the easiest thing that would happen. Like if you can't remember anything, like you're just a zombie and you're just, you know,
you can make a new life.
Yeah, you'd basically start over. I don't know.
And I mean, did they ever come out of it? Did they just wander? Because I mean, if you saw a guy wandering around in the market, you know, with a weird glazed over look, you wouldn't stop him and talk to him, probably. You just let him go on his way if you didn't know him.
Yeah.
So, like,
excuse me, sir. Are you a zombie?
Yeah.
Kristen and I would just snicker back and forth. Is that guy drunk? Look how drunk he is.
Oh, hell no. I'd be the one to walk up to him and be like,
where's the beer?
Excuse me. Like, I'd start talking to him in an hour long conversation, and then break the ice. Are you a zombie?
So, like, they might just. If they don't come out of it on their own, maybe they just wander around until they, you know, I don't know,
die.
Pass out or die or whatever. Because, I mean, do they know how to eat? Do they remember without being told.
Is that the market?
Who knows?
That's true. Yeah, this one was like, I know I'm supposed to do something here.
Well, that's what's curious. I wonder what he's at the market buying. That's what I want to know.
He was just looking at
my
stuff.
Impression is he just kind of wandered back to a place that he was familiar with. Like he just kind of aimlessly wandered back to a place that he knew.
So their senses are kind of still going, though, so that's good.
Yeah, it seems like a real iffy situation.
Yeah. So in some of the other cultures, like the Arab folklore, you'd become this like a zombie for living an immoral life. So, you know, if you were a horrible person, but they call them ghouls.
Ooh.
Which is interesting because in
Ghost
George
ghouls and goblins.
Yes, but in George Romero's Night of the Living Dead, that's in the script. He doesn't call them zombies; he calls them ghouls.
Interesting.
So that's pretty cool.
See, and a ghoul to me is okay. So you got the zombie who is a pale face, whatever, all this gooey stuff. Ghouls to me are kind of like the mummies.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Reminds me of a resurrected person.
I mean,
that's Scooby-Doo world.
But in Dungeons and Dragons,
yes,
zombies and ghouls are two different things, and ghouls are worse because a zombie in D&D is like a Night of the Living Dead zombie, and a ghoul in D&D is more like a 28 Days Later zombie.
Oh, okay.
But they eat the dead. Like, in D&D, ghouls kill you specifically to eat you when you're dead. Because they, like, dead things. Which is the opposite of what zombies do.
Zombies.
They want to eat you while you're living.
Yeah.
Zombies
but this is strictly Dungeons and Dragons.
I mean, it sounds legit. It sounds like it could really be something.
So, but in this folklore, the ghouls are mostly female. And, like I said, they had a sinful life while they were alive. In some of the legends, these ghouls would hide in the desert and lure travelers, kind of like a siren, basically. They'd lure the travelers over, and then they would change into their natural form, which I never could figure out what it was supposed to look like if they just got, like, grotesque or something.
Reminds me of Constantine when the guy's in the desert and he hands off the sword.
Oh, yeah. The tip of the Spear of Destiny.
Yeah, okay.
I love Hellblazer.
That's the only thing I was thinking of the whole entire time you're talking about the desert.
I was thinking
luring people.
Have you guys seen that YouTube video? I've seen it attributed to being in a ton of different countries, but it's like a bunch of guys driving in a truck and then they see like a woman with dark hair, I guess, kind of up ahead in the dark. And as they approach, it like turns and starts shrieking at them crazy and running towards them, and they freak out and drive away.
Do they always call it a witch or something in most
Sometimes
of the
they call it a witch or like I've seen it said in a ton of different countries, but it sounds like what's happening here. And it's terrifying if you ever find it.
Yeah, well, like I said, they turn into this monster, they eat you.
Oof.
So
yikes.
That's their zombie-ish thing.
Well.
Now let's fly to China.
Really? They got them too?
Everyone's got some kind of zombie type thing. Mm. In China, the living dead are called Zhangshu, something like that. Something along those lines.
You had me 100% convinced until you doubled back.
until my confidence just went.
Yeah.
So this is more of a hungry ghost that comes back to eat the living. Rather than like a full corpse and everything.
Hmm.
And it's mostly the former person. It's the family that they go after for an improper burial. Like they didn't treat their body right, or there's something to do with their burial didn't go right. And it's a respect thing. Cause you know,
dang, that's a lot of
China.
Pressure. Like
no shit.
Can you imagine being like a 12-year-old kid in China and like going through the, you know, your grandpa died, and then also the added pressure of if you don't do good at his funeral, he's gonna destroy you.
Yeah. He's gonna come back as a ghost and eat your
ass.
Yeah,
he's gonna grudge
you. A lot
you.
Of job openings for undertakers over there.
Oh my gosh.
Jesus.
Let's go to Scandinavia.
Ooh.
So
there were stories of an undead Viking that would eat people called the Draugr. These
hell
guys
yeah.
are cool as hell.
I just love
the most
like
metal
it,
thing I've ever heard.
It was a Viking.
Yeah, if there's not a band called Draugr, we're starting it right now.
Absolutely.
Scandinavian
I would
Draugrs.
Like, you know what? With that being said, I'd like a list of every time I've said that, like, this is our metal band that we're starting right here, of, like, every time we say that.
Yeah, t-shirts.
Yeah.
This t-shirts, bands.
Draugr is the coolest one so far, I think. Besides the, what was the worm from our Monster
Madness?
The
Mongolian
Madness?
Death Worm?
Mongolian Death Worm
is
the headliner.
Contributed.
And Draugr is
Listener,
the co-headliner. It's a tour. We're starting it now. Anyways, so these guys are part of Norse mythology, and basically they're just unstoppable warriors with superhuman strength, and they want to eat your face
and
off.
And funny-looking hats, because obviously they're Vikings.
Yes, they're basically the juggernaut that'll eat your face. Ooh. The zombie juggernauts.
Yikes.
Yeah. Ooh. And apparently the only way to stop them is... from what I understood, I keep saying that through this episode because I'm not very smart, but from what I understood...
You ain't got the smarts?
I ain't got the smarts. They basically have to bury them. I guess that's very juggernaut-like,
so you
too, because,
like,
you know...
strap them down long enough to bury them?
Take off their helmet? Oh.
A lot?
I went very geeky and nerdy on that one. Well, but yeah...
Since we're going geeky and nerdy, I play this Dungeons and Dragons game, and I have this unstoppable barbarian character, and he just keeps getting mind-controlled, and it pisses me off. Like, he's so strong and undefeatable, but every combat, he gets mind-controlled into oblivion, and I'm just like, oh, I need a juggernaut helmet so bad.
That's awesome. But, yeah, so you have to... bury him is what it said, like put him in a grave. I don't know if it was his grave, his original grave, or just any big hole and dump some.
Dang, that's an added, you know, challenge if it has to be his own grave, because
right, that sucks.
It's gonna be hard. He's no matter what, but
yeah, and I feel like if this folklore was true, this whole world would be overrun by joggers. So
yeah, because how there's no way to get like a juggernaut zombie back into a grave, like
a specific grave.
Yeah, he's not gonna cooperate.
No. So in Western Europe, their zombie like creature is the Revenant, not the movie with, is it a bear or a wolf in that movie? I haven't seen it yet.
I think it's a bear.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's not that. So the word revenant is an old French word meaning returning or something like that. It's usually a visible ghost or an animated corpse. So choose your own adventure on this one. In the 20th century, a man named William of Newburgh wrote about spirits that would need to feed on the living. Sounds like a zombie.
Yeah, it's also a vampire slash zombie, or really straddling the line here.
And he was, I think he really, really believed in these things, because he wrote a lot for the church. And now I saw this quote, and I wrote this quote down, and then I saw the same quote, but it was extended. So I think someone took a quote and cut it down. Is it still a quote when you do that? When you cut out a big portion of it?
It depends how short you cut it. Because
they cut a lot of it out. So I'm going to read the shorter one that's been chopped up, because I'm not very good at reading. He was cut quoted as to saying, "One would not easily believe the corpse came out of their graves unless there were many cases supported by ample testimony," which, yeah, no shit, like,
okay, yeah.
we can't prove this because there's not a bunch of proof. Yeah, so I don't know, it just,
so is he saying that I thought that because a lot of people think there are zombies must be real because we think there's zombies?
I thought he was saying, like, it's hard to believe. I understand it's hard to believe in zombies or these revenant creatures, but unless a bunch of people see them come out of the graves, there's no way to prove it. Like, that's how I took the longer quote. And I was like,
so it's not even you see a guy eat a guy. It's you have to see him come out of his grave and then eat a guy.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
He's got a high bar.
Right. But he was like trying to hunt them down, I guess. I don't know. But let's move on to some pop culture, because we've talked about a couple of around the world zombie beliefs. And let's start off with Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, which was written in 1818. And obviously, you know, if you know who Frankenstein is, or the monster of Frankenstein, I should say, Dr. Frankenstein is bringing someone back from the dead. Is that a zombie? Does that count as a zombie?
I don't think so, because it's a pastiche of several different corpses.
See, and there was so many sources that I saw were like, well, this is technically like the first reanimated, not first stories, but like one of the more popular stories of a reanimated corpse. And I was like, yeah, that's why I was asking, is this really a zombie story? Because
I would say yes, reanimated corpse, but no zombie, because Frankenstein's monster is intelligent and has a lot of feelings about things, and
he's emotional.
He's real emo, and he's got.
Why do I need an emo Frank with like the Flock of Seagulls haircut now?
I just remember reading this book in high school, and it gets to the part where he's like hiding under the porch and peeping on some lady trying to learn to read. I'm like, oh, can we please just write like a sad acoustic album about this and move on?
You play it in the background as you read it.
Yeah.
So one of the first credited zombie movies is the 1932 film White Zombie, which, like we were talking about earlier, how the voodoo doctor, witch doctor, would bring someone back to life and basically they'd be under their control. This is what happens in that movie. This voodoo witch doctor brings back a white guy, and that's why it's called White Zombie. Like, that's...
Okay, well...
You know what? I even tried to watch a few minutes of it, and it's just... It's so old, it was just hard. And I appreciate film, don't get me wrong, but it's
hard to go back to.
It's from 1930. Okay. Yeah, it's from 1932. It's just hard to want to sit there and really want to watch it when you could be like, I could watch something that's a little more better. Since we're in the age of remakes, I'm really shocked that that hasn't been remade.
It is interesting. And like Nosferatu, I mean, the original Nosferatu, some of it is a little goofy just because the way shots were set up, I think, back then sometimes. It feels like a sitcom to us. But some of it is genuinely terrifying. But I'm surprised they don't remake more of that stuff. Because I haven't seen it yet, but The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari is supposed to be still terrifying. And it's kind of from around that time. So
I would think with the zombie craze, the remake craze.
Yeah.
Why not? White Zombie, one of the first films. Maybe we'll get on that one day. We'll Kickstarter it or something.
Yeah, you heard us, viewers.
So there was the book I Am Legend. It inspired filmmaker George Romero to make a small little movie in 1968 called Night of the Living Dead that we've already talked about. But here's the kicker. In both of those stories, actually, I was going to say in just Night of the Living Dead, but apparently in both of the stories, they never use the word zombie.
In fact, in I Am Legend, aren't they vampires in the book?
Yeah, they're more vampire-ish, but, you know, they still have, like, the zombie qualities, and, I mean, they can't go out in the daylight or anything, so I guess they are more vampire-ish?
I can't remember if they specifically use the word vampire, but... the movie and the book are very different from what I remember, but even in the movie, they couldn't go out in daylight. Just a real vampire-y thing. I don't know. They really, they're another bridge in the gap kind of monster.
Right. So these stories help kick off all the modern ideas of zombies, you know, the undead walking among us kind of thing. One of the reasons Night of the Living Dead was so widely seen was because the distributor, the Walter Reed Organization, they forgot to put a trademark or copyright, which basically Yeah, it went straight. Basically, from what I understand, it went straight into public domain, and all the cable stations were able to run the movie without paying for it. So
somebody got fired.
Yeah,
somebody got fired that day.
Right. So I don't know what the whole story is on that, but yeah, that's kind of why it was able to be broadcast, and so many people, you know, got to see Night of the Living Dead growing up or whatever, long time ago, before I was born. So, Return of the Living Dead, that film series, was the first to have zombies have a hunger for brains. There's your brains, Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
Brains. And then, basically, most of our modern zombies in movies and stories, they eat anything that's living. You know, like, it doesn't matter what part of it is. It could be your arm, it could be your leg, they'll rip out your guts. You know, they just kind of...
Yeah. They'll...
Chat on
they'll
anything.
Do whatever.
I want to take a break real quick, and then we're going to talk about a few cases that may be zombie-ish, sort of.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what you think. but we'll be right back, and, yeah, we'll be right back. Said that twice.
Don't forget, Auto Man, you promised to take me to the Noiseland Video Arcade this weekend.
No can do, Bart dude. I gotta follow the Best Darn Diddly Review Show on tour. Diddly diddly diddly.
That's not how podcasts work.
Huh?
All you have to do to listen to the Best Darn Diddly Review Show is follow them anywhere you can listen to podcasts, or visit them at bestdarndiddly.com.
Whoa, you just totally blew my mind, man. I'll get right on that.
Otto, I think the bus engine's smoking.
Yeah, the engine.
Remember, if you don't follow the Best Darn Diddly Review Show, you can eat my shorts.
Food. Whoa, I think I got the munchies.
So it's Halloween, and you're missing out on Cryptid Crate? I'm disappointed in you. You could get spooky cryptids delivered to your doorstep every single month. All you have to do is go to cryptidcrate.com, and there's a bonus. You can get 20% off your first order when you use the promo code SECRETPOD. So if you like the spooky, but you want it all year long, go to cryptidcrate.com and subscribe today. You can get t-shirts, DVDs, books, stickers, all kinds of fun and unique items in every month's box. So again, one more time, Secret Pod at checkout for 20% off your first order at CryptidCrate.com. Do it.
Good evening, everybody, or morning or afternoon or whatever, it doesn't matter. We are Graveyard Tales. Now, if you like ghost stories, hauntings, cryptid encounters, and the weird history behind them, then you should join us in the graveyard.
You can find us on any of your favorite podcast providers. Check out our website at graveyardpodcast.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter at GRV. Just go search Graveyard Tales.
That would be easier. Now, we hope to see you in the graveyard.
So we are back, and we are going to talk some real life zombie cases, possibly.
Ooh.
I picked the best that I could find, and there's one or two of these that are kind of weak, but I'm really curious on what you think. And I did go, I'm going to just put this out as a disclaimer beforehand. I did go and check the names because I pulled these off of like themirror.co.uk, which I don't know how reliable that source is, but I went and would check other sources to make sure like this article has like factual names, like they didn't just, what's the is it the Inquirer?
National Inquirer.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure because
you don't want to get bat boyed.
Exactly. Perfect. So I made sure that there was other sources for these stories. So, the first one I've got, July of 2014, The Mirror posted a story and a video. There's a video. I watched the video. of a three-year-old who woke up from her own funeral in Aurora, Zimbabwe. How do you say
Zimbabwe.
Del Sur in the Philippines.
Or Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe. I don't know. It's Zimbabwe. In the Philippines. Philippines.
Oh, wait. Oh, I thought we were talking about Zimbabwe in Africa. We're talking about
Zimbabwe.
It's Zimbabwe.
It's Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe del Sur.
Whoa. In the Philippines. Okay. Yeah. Never heard of this place, but it sounds terrifying.
Apparently, if three-year-olds are waking up at their own funeral. So her body was in a coffin in the church, and she just started breathing again, apparently. And in the video, the video is like the aftermath of like when the father ran to the coffin and is lifting her up out of the coffin. But you can see her kind of like moving her head, and she's conscious. She's clearly conscious. And apparently he ended up rushing her to the hospital. She was pronounced dead on Saturday after being taken to the hospital the day before, suffering from a fever for several days.
Somebody got fired.
So during the time, the attending clinic personnel and physician confirmed that the young patient had no more pulse and was clinically dead last Saturday morning about 9 a.m. That was a quote. I don't know by who. I forgot to write that down. But it was a quote. We're very professional
Someone
on this show.
Said it.
Someone should get fired from this show.
Satan. Satan's going to be fired.
The only fire is the fires of hell, Kristen.
Good
you
one,
haven't
Satan.
Met my hell.
Good one, Satan. It was only when one of her parents' neighbors removed the lid of the coffin to like rearrange something in the coffin. And
Like you do.
And
oh, that's normal.
Apparently, the three-year-old was breathing, and that's when they were, like, screaming, and the dad came running over, and then someone was like, hey, I'm gonna film this. So.
Whoa, dude.
So, the only cases that I've ever heard of this is people being pronounced dead by accident, or people almost with narcolepsy.
Yeah, I've got...
Because people with narcolepsy can go into such a deep sleep that their pulse is so faint, you cannot... You can't even use, like, medical equipment to tell.
Well...
And then they wake up.
Listen to this one. A coroner had declared Walter Williams dead after failing to feel a pulse in Mississippi. 4 hours later, he began kicking in the body bag, trying to get out. So
that was a bad day at work.
Now, this was an old man, and it's funny because in the interview, they're like saying, like, he's full of energy. I don't know what. And they show him in the hospital bed, and he's just sitting there like, where am I at? And he's just an old man.
So I will say this is how I figured how. Okay, so then I saw this in a show, right? The narcolepsy thing. And the way that it was, the way that they showed the guy having the narcoleptic episode was he was on the table about to be autopsied. Okay, now this is a show, but this is why I think
this could be totally true. This is based on a real story. I already know where it's going.
He is on the...
Autopsy
table.
About to be embalmed.
No, they're just cutting him open for an autopsy.
Oh, okay.
And so he's like, in his mind going, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Well, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he wakes up and he flings himself forward. And the guy, you know, who obviously is about to do the autopsy, is freaking out. And he's like,
shit his pants.
I always get, he's like this. And he's like, are you okay? And he was like, yeah, I'm okay. Are you okay? And he's like, yeah. He's like, this has happened like so many times. I try to wake myself up before it gets to this moment. Like he's been in that moment like five times of almost being autopsied.
But this is on a show.
And he tries to wake himself up. And then he's like, oh my, you're dead. And he goes, no, I have narcolepsy and I fell asleep. And when they found me, you know, all this stuff, that's how it's too faint for them to see. So they think that I'm dead. He goes, I've been to the coroner's office probably 6-7 times.
Oh my gosh. Get a giant tattoo on your chest that says, like, I might be asleep to, like, test first.
Right?
Do not cut right here.
Like, if your eyes are closed, be like, narcolepsy, real big across on
the... Stab me in the leg first or something. Like, oh my gosh. How do you, if you're the coroner on that, how do you ever do another autopsy?
So,
you shake them really hard for 20
minutes.
And you're
like,
wake up.
I will say this. This is so my sister was a mortician. So, I wanted to be a mortician and I was doing a lot of apprenticing with her. Well, a lot of people.
Mortician's Apprentice, awesome band name.
Yes, there you go. C in the big O. Yeah. So I was with her one time whenever we were doing, she was doing autopsy and everything, and then she's about to be embalming. Well, they started doing something. Well, everybody doesn't really realize the nerves, you know, that shrink up and they are fluctuating and freaking out and everything. Well, the person that was about to be embalmed sits straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I turned to get the aspirator. She turned to get the scalpel because she is about to start the embalming while I was doing the aspirating. And whenever that happened, we turned back around and this dude's sitting straight up.
Oh my.
And you aspirated.
That's even
all
scarier
in your pants
than just sitting up.
Well, rigor mortis. When rigor mortis sets in, the nerves start freaking out and that's whenever all this stuff happens. Like, literally, I will have to say this, and I hate to say this. You can edit out if you want to. But rigor mortis set in on a guy one time, and it set in the wrong area.
He had an erection?
He had an erection. We had to tie it to the side of his leg.
Nice.
Because we couldn't, until we finally got the embalming fluid in there and got everything situated and calm. But, yeah. So,
hey.
I thought that moment would freak me out when they set up.
If
but
there's
it
one
didn't.
Nice thing you can say about that story is like, well, I mean, you had to tie it to his legs.
The one moment in life where he's like, yeah, that's right, ladies. He's up there in heaven going, bam,
you had to
bitch.
Tie that to my legs.
Because like, look at that, angels. Look at that shit. They're tying it to my leg.
Okay, so zombie dicks.
Rigor mortis dicks is what it is. But
you know all about that, right, Satan?
It's the only dick he has is a dead dick.
I know about the zombie D.
From when
I
your
bet
mom told
you,
right?
Do.
Hey, that's not real nice.
His mom was a... You know,
she was a goat
with a penis.
I really think that joke's stolen from Little Nicky now that I think about it. Satan,
that his mom was a goat.
Yeah, I think so. Because isn't that what they call it? They say his mom's a goat, his brother's all through the whole thing.
I don't know. I try to get my wife to rewatch Little Nicky with me, but she won't do it.
I haven't seen it in so long. It's
Popeye's chicken is freaking awesome.
It makes me want Popeye's chicken every time I watch that damn thing.
It's just
I
a big
Popeye's
commercial
chicken
for it
now.
I did too.
So I got another story. This story is about a 2-year-old toddler in Brazil.
Why are they all so young?
I don't know. But his name was Kelvin Santos, and he sat up in his coffin just before his funeral and asked for a glass of water. Now, this one's different.
He's 2? And he asked for
a glass of water?
Right? You sure he's not possessed?
Hold on, listen. So this one's different from the other one. And this one also did come from the mirror. So, but I did look it up. There's other stories on this. So a dead boy sat up in his coffin just before his funeral and asked for a glass of water. And then he laid right back down and was dead again.
What the
so
fuck?
Kelvin Santos, who was 2, I'm reading the article, startled grieving relatives only hours after doctors were unable to resuscitate him during treatment for pneumonia. He apparently smiled, looked around, and drank his water. So they actually handed him the water, then reclined back in his coffin. Dad Antonio Santos could not wake Kelvin again and carried him to a hospital in Belém, North Brazil. But doctors were mystified as to what happened and confirmed that he was indeed dead. Mr. Santos said, during the wake, I held Kelvin and said, son, come back to daddy. And a few hours later, my son sat up in the coffin and said, daddy, give me water. Everybody started to scream. We thought a miracle had taken place and our boy had come back to life. Then he lay down again and didn't move again. My grammar's bad. This guy's grammar's bad.
Whoa.
So he just wasn't brain dead. So his brain was so good.
Well, Kelvin died of pneumonia and respiratory failure in Alberto Santos Hospital at 7 p.m. on Friday, the following a 5-day fever. Everyone's dying of fever. His family held a wake throughout the night at home, and at 3 p.m. the following day, an hour before the funeral, mourners said, The lad. I should have read this beforehand. Mourner said that the lad came to life. This is not a funny thing. I'm not laughing at the boy. I'm laughing at the writing. Convinced that his son was a victim of medical malpractice, Mr. Santos has now registered a complaint with the police. He said, "Dead people don't just wake up and talk. I'm determined to find out the truth." Police said they were investigating. So.
Whoa. Wow. That one is the craziest one yet.
Now that
Did
was
they dead. Say that- if he, like, they said he was indeed dead. Did could they tell if he was, if he had died that day or if he had died 2 days ago? Like, could they, you know what
see,
I mean?
Or the, is,
it, right, like it, if it, he was alive the
Was
whole
he dead
time,
for 24 hours or
lie?
Was he dead for a week or...
See, in that article, it made it sound like he died, and then, like, very shortly after, they were already having the...
Yeah, it sounds like the next day they were having the wake or whatever, right?
Right. So
I guess it's pretty close to make a time of death call.
I don't know. That's the... Honestly, that's the saddest story, I think. Well,
yeah.
Okay. The,
yeah,
the other
why
ones
do
I've
you
got
do that? You couldn't find nothing else?
Well, I got two more, and they're not any better.
oh, no.
But this one's sad just because, like...
Such a young
this,
baby.
This father, this family had a little bit of hope, and, you know, then it was taken,
it
all, it was taken
your,
away a second time.
Depends on your view. It could have either been... blessing or a curse,
right? It's just weird because I wonder if this whole I
anything
don't know,
I would have believed in God after that, especially if he was asking God for his son to wake up.
Well,
he didn't say for how long. I'd say that, but you gotta be specific whenever you're messing with
God's
prayers.
God's pretty tricky, like me. You ask for
not
something,
tricky,
and I'm
but...
gonna give you. Something in return, but not exactly.
He's a busy man. He's got to figure it out as he goes.
Are you sure I didn't do it?
Now that I think about it.
Ah.
Does seem some little trick-ass thing you would do.
Yeah, that's a dickhead thing to do, Satan. Anyways.
But, I mean, it could be a blessing.
I mean, is there... I don't know much about death or the body or much of anything, really, but...
Well, that has to mean that he wasn't embalmed. He wasn't embalmed for the funeral, then their religion
True.
Doesn't do embalming.
Well,
embalming because once, I mean, embalming processes drain the body of the blood
dead.
And add with formaldehyde, so well, he wasn't, yeah, so he definitely was
what
not
I was,
embalming.
What I was going to ask
case.
Is, like, you were talking about the rigor mortis thing and mm-hmm. sitting up, is there a way... Because isn't there, like, it sounds like people are breathing because, like, air is escaping after
oh,
they pass away?
Yeah,
because
flatulent and everything, like, they're is, through all the airways, gas can seep.
Is there any way, and this may
they
be the this may
stuff.
Be the stupidest question ever, but is there any way that there is a little bit of brain function left after someone passes away?
Oh, I would say so. Like, that's what I'm saying. That's what that was oh. what my question was. Because when people are pronounced brain dead, then they're brain dead. And their organs are functioning still. That's why they usually harvest the organs.
Well, that's what I'm
they're
asking.
Not affected.
Is like,
but if you die from an organ thing, I don't see why it couldn't be the opposite effect and your brain still have fire, like, you know, the sensors, and it has the firing modes to where it's sending it to certain things and still kind of crackling. I mean, I'm trying to think how to really, like, say, okay, so, like, you have to have water and food to survive. So you have to have your organs and your brain to survive. But people can keep you alive on a machine and your organs can still run and do that function.
Right.
But if your organs aren't done, then your brain can go. But so you got, but you have to have your organs to live.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
so
if
his brain could have
like...
been firing and functioning and he could have set up long enough and then his body could have realized and then it could have sent that surge to his brain going, oh shit. You have nothing's working.
Like, if it was a car, it got that last drip of gas.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking, if that's possible. Maybe a listener will enlighten me and let me know if I'm an idiot
so.
or a viewer. I need to represent Carl and
yeah, you have
Sloth
any viewers?
Prophecies.
I thought you were going to say, is there any way that he could have the like reflexive air coming out of the lungs could have sounded like, oh, can I have a glass of water, Daddy?
Oh, shit.
Oh my god, that's awful. But have you ever
seen yes until he set up?
Have you ever seen the episode of
flatulent
of Futurama where Bender gets changed into a human? It's like one of those what if episodes where they've got the what if machine kind of thing, and
he
gets turned into a human and he eats and eats and eats until he's fat, and then he keeps going woohoo, and they're like, no, he's been dead for 12 hours, and they're like, no, it's just the air escaping. See, watch, and he pushes on his stomach and he goes woohoo.
That's a great episode too.
So this is just a little kid going, can I please have a glass of water? Woohoo!
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
I feel terrible, bad for that joke.
But man, that is scary because I legitimately don't see any way that it could be a explainable thing.
Right.
It's just so creepy. Did he
no, but religious
said,
wise,
can
I feel
have
like
a glass
a...
of water and yeah, nothing mm-hmm. else?
I guess so. And
it's just kind of scary because it makes you think, is that child in hell? And he came back. But depends on what kind of religion.
Oh, jeez. You took it deep. Like, he's thirsty because he's in hell.
But then again, me being...
I'm going to go ahead and debunk. He wasn't in hell.
That's
he,
good. He is, but I'm going to say, as a religion person, if you are
thanks, Satan.
Even the barely minimum of Christian, then you know that kids and animals are, like, untouchable. They automatically go to heaven. They're pure. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying, but it's kind of scary, though.
Unless they're sacrificed to me.
But it is a very... Well, I mean, that kid could... You don't know what his parents have been up to. But, I mean, it is a very big test of religion and belief on his parents' side. Like, are you going to be happy you saw him? Or are you going to be mad at me for taking him kind of thing? Like,
I mean,
that's a huge test.
I feel like...
It's one I wouldn't want to go through.
It's one of those things...
It depends on his delivery. Was it... Can I have a glass of water, Daddy? Or was
please,
it...
Please, sir, can I have some more?
Can I have a glass of water, Daddy?
Or was it like
flipping crosses upside down?
Our yeah. kids that are buttholes sometimes are like,
give me a glass of water.
Can I have a glass of water?
If you loved me, you'd already have me a glass of water.
Yeah.
It's Dad. The give me, not can I have. It's the give me a glass of water.
Well, see, and my last thing with this particular case is like... Did they see possibly a ghost? Like, was it a maybe it wasn't actually
a lot
him.
Of people to see it.
I know. There's just so many questions with this one. I wish we could get a follow up on this one. I should have dug a little deeper, but if anyone's got a follow up or knows of this story,
yeah,
that's up.
Yeah, oof, that's a weird one.
Okay, let's move on to the next one. On April 10th, 2002, Antron Singleton, AKA rapper Big Lurch, and this rapper's from Texas, so Crescent,
excellent name,
he's repping us. Are you ready for Big Lurch's story?
Do-do-do-do.
I know,
if you know what, if he did not rap to that, then
he has to have like you sample that track or something,
right?
Like,
and the reason his name is Big Lurch is because this motherfucker was 6'6", like he was a big man.
Dang.
And let's just say it April 10th, it was a day after his birthday, his 24th birthday, and he was still partying it up with some PCP.
Oh. Yikes. Okay.
Yeah, so we're getting hardcore in this one.
Yeah.
He used a 3-inch paring knife to cut open and eat his roommate, Tanisha Yassis. Tanisha. He was found around 2:00 in the afternoon, walking around naked with blood all over his face and his arms and his hands. He claims he doesn't remember anything except he believed the world was going to end and he had to find the devil.
Whoa.
All he had to do was call. I'm not like hard to find. I'm in hell most of the time.
Anyways.
How much time do you spend just sad and alone beside your telephone, Satan? Just with no calls
all the time, except when I'm on the show. The rest of the time I am sitting by my phone in hell. It's a sad life.
Is it even cordless?
No, that's why I have to sit beside it, because there's a little wall in hell and it's plugged into that, and it's only like a 2-foot cord, so I can't really like do anything else.
Oh man. So someone, you're just sitting there twirling.
Yeah.
Like you're in an 80s angsty teen movie.
Yes. I need someone to save me. I really do. Life's miserable in hell.
Anyways.
It got dark.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the dead kid stories, please.
Yeah. Satan being depressed is... So, apparently, Big Lurch had
Big Lurch.
Cut open and torn open her chest.
Oh.
There was teeth marks that were found on her face, on her lungs, which had also been torn from her chest.
Oh my goodness.
There was something I saw about the intestines. He was chew marks on the intestines or something crazy like that.
I think that's the last choice for me.
Yeah. All of it's the last choice for me. I'm a very picky eater. A medical examination performed shortly after his capture found human flesh in his stomach that was not his own. So he definitely digested. Zombie case? No. PCP case?
Cannibal, weird devil cannibal?
Yeah, the fact that, like, he... I don't even know what PCP looks like, so it's not like I can say much on an experience of PCP, but, like, seeing the devil...
I keep thinking about the handheld Sony, the PSP.
Close. That'll make you want to eat people's faces off, too. No, I think it is weird that there's, like, a devil connection, and what... Almost like something took control of him. In a weird way. I know it's drugs, and I know drugs will make you do wacky shit like that, but it's almost like, yeah, he wasn't him. He was a zombie for a minute. Something from hell, like, I'm not religious at all. I'm the counterpart to Kristen. I'm not religious at all. So, but it does seem very weird that, like, he had visions of the world ending or whatever was happening, and I don't know. The devil.
Well, when we did our Mushrooms or Aliens episode, I started listening to Joe Rogan because he had a lot of people talking about DMT experiences on there. And there's a lot of them that talk about like feeling like they're making contact with spiritual entities that are like, we're so glad you found this technology. And so maybe it's not just the chill drugs that do that, maybe also like PCP and I'm not cool enough to know any other drugs, but
the marijuana
and the doobies. Maybe there's whatever is happening there is a two-way street. Like there's the benevolent love everybody drug entities, and there's the eat your roommate entities.
Yeah, maybe. So let's go to the next story, because we've talked about this one a handful of times. Okay, this one's kind of popular. On May 26, 2012, in Miami, Florida. Do you already know?
We going down the bath salts road?
We're going down the bath salts road. See,
I remember when this happened, I thought this was the zombie outbreak. I was like, damn, it's happening.
Well, okay, so this is why this one is very zombie related, because this is May 2012.
Yeah.
This story all happens right before the Mayan calendar was supposed to end December 21st, 2012.
Yeah.
So this really did look like, oh shit, it's happening. This is starting. Zombies are happening, you know. So this case freaked out a lot of people. His name is Rudy Eugene, and he attacked a homeless man named Ronald Popo by basically biting most of his face off and gouging out his left eye. And I don't remember what was... I don't know if he damaged the right eye or if the right eye was already damaged, but basically it left... Ronald blind after this attack. Oh, and Rudy was naked. So,
yeah, I remember this happening, and just like hearing the news headline on some news podcast and just being like, what? A naked guy just like jumped on another guy and started eating him while he was alive? Like, that's crazy.
You know, there's a little bit of backstory. Like, apparently this guy knew the homeless man from like a homeless shelter that he had worked at or something. Or there was something about Rudy having a Bible and stuff, but he was high and he left it somewhere. And then he started accusing this homeless man of having it. And that's what kind of set off the attack.
I'd never heard that.
Yeah, there's a little more to it. I didn't write it all down because... when it comes down to it, none of the why matters because the guy was fucked up. You know, it's not like there was a good motivation for any of it because he was just messed up. So when the police showed up, Rudy had already stripped. He had pulled Randall's pants off for whatever reason and was just beating the crap out of him and then biting his face. The police warned him to stop, and Rudy growled at them. And then went back to biting on Ronald's face. And so the police opened fire. They shot once at Rudy, and apparently it was ineffective. Like, it didn't do anything to him. So they ended up shooting him 4 more times and putting him down. And the attack was caught on security camera and continued for 18 minutes before the police actually showed up. So this was like 18 minutes of hell for this guy. Yeah. I couldn't imagine someone gnawing on my face. The whole thing is just terrible.
I think it's crazy that he just growled at the like. Presumably, they were there with guns pointed at him.
Yeah,
and he just turns. Can you imagine being like your first day as a policeman, and and you get this call, and you're like, "Oh my gosh!"
That would be my last day as a policeman
with like bits of person in his teeth, and is like.
Yeah,
like that's a guy waking up at the morgue moment.
Where do I sign up to become a police officer?
I don't think they take Twizzler dicks.
You must be this wide. So the autopsy revealed no human flesh was found in Rudy's stomach. They did find a bunch of undigested pills. But I guess they never tried to identify them. I don't know what the deal is with that.
Sounds like a government cover-up.
Hey, you know what? That was going to be my final point for this, is what if this was an actual zombie and they put it down? It escaped from a testing facility or something. But the toxicology reports were positive only for the presence of cannabis. Mm. I hope I'm the only one that's ever made that bad joke.
Cannibalus.
Happy Halloween, everyone. eventually, the police ended up believing that it was bath salts that were the cause of this behavior. And the problem is, like, when you go for a toxicology, they don't test for every drug known to man. They do like A, B, C, D. You know, they do like a handful of them. So they never tested him for the bath salt one, is from what I understood. It's like having a dartboard and just throwing it, you know, and being like, okay, I guess we're going to test for marijuana, PCP.
Yeah, I guess there's more drugs than you could ever hope to identify.
Right.
If you're doing something obscure.
Yeah, so, I mean... I don't know if that's all to it. There might be more to it since, you know, all this happened, but that's how I understood it. I feel stupid that I've said that 100 times in this episode, but this is to the best of my knowledge.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that is a little government cover-up-y. Have you been keeping up with the, is it Arizona where the, like, FBI came in and just shut down that observatory?
I was kind of keeping up with it at first, and a lot of people on Twitter were getting up in arms like, oh, you stupid conspiracy theorist. And I was like, it's not really that anyone's conspiring anything, it's just weird that this happened. And they were like,
we're just like, this is weird. They came out with the explanation, which was that apparently like the janitor of the place was looking at child pornography on the computers, and then they like eventually figured out it was him and threatened to fire him, and he threatened to like shoot everybody, and then for some reason that caused them to like quarantine it, the FBI to come in and quarantine it. It didn't add up for me personally.
That still seems a little fishy.
It's a little I feel like we don't really have the whole story on that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe it's my poor research.
Right. Well, to before we like wrap this up on our personal thoughts of what we think of zombies and stuff, I thought it'd be fun to talk about, like, if there is a zombie outbreak, what would be your first instinct? Because we've watched movies and everything. How would you kill a zombie?
Because,
you know, in the movies, it's always like, shoot them in the brain, kill the brain, cut off their head. Yeah. Is that really the best thing you could do?
I think it's harder than the average person would think to accurately hit a humanoid figure reliably in a specific location like that, especially if you're not like trained to use a firearm. Like I wouldn't be able to. I think definitely like a baseball bat with some like big old nails in it or something.
Right.
I think would be better. Cause one, it's not going to make any noise, cause that's always a concern, attracting
more of them.
More. And, you know, you can swing a bat. So, I don't know. I think I might go with a melee weapon. It's going to be more terrifying in the beginning, but
yeah, cause you got to get close. You got to get within reaching distance to swing the bat, whack them in the noggin.
But it doesn't run out of ammo.
That's true.
So, but also, Justin's gonna maybe hate me for telling you this, but we both used to work essentially at a Renaissance fair. So like, and we would have to do like spear fighting in armor. So I think honestly, we would probably use spears because there's a lot of reach
practice.
And we have practice with that. So yeah,
that's actually good to know. Like, I mean, it's obvious when you say it, but like, yeah, something with a little more reach would definitely be better than a baseball bat that you have to be like damn near right up on. You definitely don't want to be trying to stab a zombie in the head with a pocket knife.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah.
Kristen, what do you got? Do you have any specific way of killing a zombie?
Off with their head. That's what I think. I think
you're
just going to
carry
take
around
them.
Samurai swords and.
I mean, yeah.
You're going to be like the badass chick on Walking Dead, huh?
Or unless I can turn out to be a vampire and then I can just take their hearts. But if they're already dead, I mean, pretty much the only way to kill a zombie is through taking off their head.
Yeah.
Take their brain for the brain they're trying to go get.
Brain.
Oh, speaking of Will Smith movies, have you guys ever seen Wild Wild West?
Yeah.
Maybe you can just put those big collars on them.
Oh yeah,
and just get that
magnet
blade thing chasing them around. But that's a lot of effort.
Yeah, first off, you got to figure out that technology and make it work to where the blade chases
invent
them through
the collars. Invent the blade, and then
But I like your thoughts though. I like that.
You just got to figure that out,
right? So let's go around and talk about, like, what do you think of the zombie? I don't want to call it a phenomenon because it's not like it's a proven thing. But, like, what do you think of zombies? I can go first.
Go
first.
You said,
what do you think?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll go first and say that I feel like the thought of zombie is... I feel like the thought of zombies hurting you after the person dies, you know, the corpse, it comes from the dead body decomposing, right? If you're around a dead body that's decomposing, it'll make you sick, right? Like, you could get sick from something dead. If you look at, like, the Elisa Lam case, she was in the water tower when they found her body. And people were drinking the water, and the guests were getting sick from the water because of the dead body. I feel like we use a lot of the same burial traditions, like the casket. And I feel like that was originally used for fear of a loved one coming back. And some of the folklore has stories of people coming back for revenge for not for not treating a person right or not treating their body right or whatever. But the zombie folklore is mostly revenge stories. And I feel like all this adds up to it's kind of like superstitions and bad luck stuff. Like you don't walk under a ladder. It's not because it's bad luck. It's because a ladder could fall on you or you could hit your head on it and knock the person off the ladder. You know, there's it's like common sense things. You don't open an umbrella inside, not because you'll get bad luck, because you could knock everything off the wall or break something, right? It's superstition because it's should be common sense for most cases. Does that make sense?
Okay, so it's like a built-in superstitious protection of don't mess around with dead bodies because it will be bad for you. Yeah,
yeah. So it's like cautionary tales. And I think like the treating the bodies right, like it's. I think most of it's like good morals. You want to be nice to each other because you want to respect each other because you don't want them to come back to you after they've died and get you.
Don't want an angry grandpa.
Yeah, you don't want grandpa to be mad at you and eat you because you're a dickhead. You know?
Yeah. It's a cautionary tale.
Yeah, I feel like all of it is. Like the dead bodies, you dispose of them properly so you're not getting people around the dead body sick or contaminating stuff. I feel like it's all cautionary things that we've turned into a folklore of some sort to where it's like it's stuff that we don't even think about, like putting the people in the caskets. Like I didn't know that it's kind of started from a fear thing. I don't know. I just that's kind of what I think.
I can see that. I think it's really interesting that like every culture has a zombie story and they're all a little bit different, but they all are definitely they all exist, you know?
Right.
And it's kind of like dragons. Like China has dragons, England has dragons, but everybody has dragons.
Right.
Which we don't have any evidence for, but everybody has a story about it. So there's something weird there that it's in our collective unconscious that there's giant lizards and there's dead people that walk around.
Right.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah, it is really interesting. It makes you wonder, like, what cases brought them to believe that the dead were walking around at one point or another to where they had to come up with these stories or these folklore things. Or, you know, again, does it come back to you come up with the folklore things to, like, teach a lesson on how to, you know, dispose or be respectful? Right. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
Kristen?
Yeah,
no.
She's so, but like for like the actual zombie craze, like I saw something that like, I want to say that it was like 2002. Half of all the zombie movies that were ever made have been after 2002, and if we're saying which I know every year it just gets more and more, but like if the first, when did I say that first, the white zombie was made?
1932, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, let's just say the 40s. I mean, you know, that's 60 plus almost 20. That's almost like, let's just say 80 years, right?
From
the 30s?
I'll trust you on that math.
that's rule one. Never trust
Stop
my math.
Stop the podcast. Let's get a calculator.
Let's just say 70 years. 70 years, like, more. The majority of the zombie-type films that have come out after 2002, more than half of them. So that's I can't remember the exact year. It's like 2001, 2002, or something like that. But it's obviously there's been a bunch of stuff. You know, like you said, the Left 4 Dead games, the Dead Rising games. I mean, we can name off 50 different zombie video game franchises. And then you've got The Walking Dead. You've got a bunch of comic books. There's so much zombie content now. Like, I can't ever turn on Netflix without seeing five new zombie movies.
Even Marvel has their Marvel Zombies run,
right,
of everybody,
where they had the entire universe slowly turn into zombies, and they did that like 4 or 5 different times.
Yeah.
But you know, it's the, since this craze, like, I started thinking, why is it that we like these zombie apocalyptic movies and stuff? And I feel like it has to do with, like, we kind of put ourselves in the zombie, like, when we're watching these shows or reading these books, it's like, could I survive this? I feel like that's the one thought that goes through your mind is, could I survive this? What would I do in this situation? Because when you see in movies when they're, like, armoring up a bus or something just to travel, I always think, could I do that? Could I soup up a bus to withstand zombie hordes? And can I do it better? And then I also think it has to do with, like, you don't have any responsibilities. Like, you are just surviving. I think it's just...
Yeah, you're simultaneously freed from the social constraints of the world, and also the opportunity to prove yourself in this new world.
Right. And I think that's why everyone loves these, which is really funny because we're all zombies to the entertainment and television and podcasts and movies and music.
And Twitter, like Toby.
I am a Twitter zombie. That's not a lie.
Yeah. I saw a documentary on Netflix years ago, I think. I think it's called Horror in Red, White, and Blue or something. But it was about how the subject of horror movies has changed over time, because the very earliest ones are like one monster.
Right.
And that was kind of like science going wrong and creates a Frankenstein or one Dracula comes. And that was kind of a one, thought of like
one Dracula isn't Dracula the one guy.
One Dracula. One Dracula.
One single Dracula.
And then it moved into like them and War of the Worlds and like these invasions from outer space, which was signified like the Cold War. We were afraid we were gonna go to war again and have an invasion. And so all of our horror movies were about, like, usually otherworldly invasions.
Right.
Things. And then in the 80s, we had the moral panic. And so everything was serial killers and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And they would always kill, like, teenagers who were banging or, you know, whatever. And then now we've gotten into just, like, I don't even know. There's like a hostile phase there for a while, and now we're into zombies. Maybe it's because there's kind of a collective feeling of being fed up with the way things are, and upsetting the status quo while proving your worth in the new society.
Well, and you know, the zombie thing could be like we're all conforming. We all go to work. We all do the same things. Like it's very, I don't know what the words are.
Monotonous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just... it makes me wonder now, because I've never really thought about, like, you know, the different, like, horror movie periods. That's really interesting. So...
It was a fascinating documentary, because they had, like, John Carpenter, and they had, who's the Hellraiser guy? Clive Barker?
Yes.
They had all these famous horror directors, I think Wes Craven, and they commented on it because they're all very aware of it because they all grew up watching the guy before them, you know, and so they were very aware of this progression from one thing to the next. And like, when's the last time? Eight-Legged Freaks is probably the last time I can think of like an invasion type horror movie, you know? Like, they don't, that doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers remake, maybe, but it's like, we know that idea of a horror movie. It's just, that doesn't get made anymore because it's not what we're afraid of right now.
Yeah, that is really interesting. I never would have pointed that out. I may have to go try to find that documentary now.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's something in Red, White, and Blue. I think it's Fear or Horror in Red, White, and Blue. Definitely check it out.
Hmm. Well, do you have anything else y'all
no,
want to add?
I don't.
I just want to say thanks for having me on this show, because I've been a fan for like 2 years, and you guys are definitely the reason I started this podcast, because I don't know what episode it was, but you specifically mentioned that the reason you started this podcast was just you needed to have a creative outlet.
Yep.
and just make something. Even if no one listens, you would still make the show. And that was so inspirational. And so I quit that job. And all because of you.
It's your fault. I don't have a job.
Well, I'm glad that you pursued starting a show, because it's a great show. And I listen to it. I'm a couple episodes behind because of our West Virginia trip, but I love it. I wish your co-host Justin could have been on, because he's a hoot and a holler.
We'll get him on next time.
We can be Google buds.
Force him into coming on. And Katie, I don't think Katie had the confidence to come on this time, but next time,
I'd love to have her on too. Because she was,
We're normal people. What we do, like, I don't think we ever thought that we'd become as big as we were. Like, I mean,
and we're not that big.
Don't pat ourselves too much. Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, as big as we are now, like, I mean, that's still big small time for us.
You guys are huge from my perspective. And, like,
it wasn't really something that we intended for it to be.
Yeah. Our show has grown and stuff, and, you know, we've tried to evolve it and everything. So, like,
I loved your spiel. It made me want to cry. I'm wiping my tear over here because no one's ever said we're inspirational. Like, so it's very good to hear somebody say that, because
some days it takes me
a lot to get up here and drag my ass up here and sit in a chair, because honestly, we have these four leather chairs. If you ever see our setup, I don't know if Toby's ever posted a picture of it, but we have these four leather chairs that we bought off my work, and it was a Black Friday sale, and I regret them every day of my life. Like, I'd rather sit in a stool because they're too comfortable.
I get tired
every time I'm like over here going, I could fall asleep right here because I'm a recliner sleeper. I'm yawning right now. So whenever I hear that, it makes me feel better about it, because sometimes whenever you don't hear those things, you feel like you're just walking up to a room, you're sitting down, and you're just talking, and you're like,
you're afraid you're making crap.
And you're like, I don't even know who hears this or anything, but I feel like some days, I hate to say it, but it's like a waste of time.
Well, here,
I could write a diary almost.
Let me read you the very last review that we got. It was on September 20th, 2018, from Friendship 100, and the title is Wow. And it's one star, and all it says is, these people are not smart.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we
and then I go, I got the smarts, like, this episode, so that really works out really well. So that'll really give them some ammunition for us, but I mean, it is. Like, I mean, I'll tell people, like, that I'm part of a podcast, but a lot of people don't know what it is, and then some people don't realize it, and then some people have heard it, and then it's kind of weird, because they're like, I didn't know that, you know, that was you, because they don't see your face to it. And I'm not always on Twitter like Toby is. So
everyone knows Toby.
That's what I've always had the running joke is, this is your podcast. We're just the people who on it.
I think you guys are integral, because I love hearing you. I love hearing Addison. I like hearing Rudy when he chimes in, especially when he's giving Satan a hard time. Satan, I can take or leave. He's okay, I guess. but no, it's just like, it's the magic that comes together when you all are there. And I think for anybody who is here to leave a one-star review, why don't you try making a podcast? The amount of work that goes into it.
Think about the people sitting in a circle staring at each other or just talking into a microphone, like we're you know, entertaining an audience that's not there.
Purely,
like, it's one thing to look at an audience
of, like,
and go
creating something for somebody,
right, and not knowing who the people are. It's a surprise at who's listening to your stuff. Like, you don't have that mood setting when you're starting. You're just sitting here doing it and going, God, I really hope this fucking works out. Like, I mean, it is. It's hard. So when Toby reads me the review, sometimes, like, it can bring me to tears, because I'm like, I'm like, I'm done. I'm not doing this shit no more.
She's like, quit probably 30 times.
I'm not going to be humiliated. I'm not going to be, you know, put down. Like,
but,
you know,
I dread when we get big enough to start getting, like, negative reviews, but it's really given me
perspective on
just completely trashing anybody's art anymore, because, like, you can work so hard on something and, you know, maybe you personally don't connect with it, but somebody is connecting with it somewhere, you know?
Right.
But like, I hate to discourage anybody who is, has a desire to do it, because like, I think the biggest part of creating art is having the drive to do it. So yep. like, even if you think it sucks,
Lord
like,
knows I don't have to
It's good that
drive.
Somebody's creating something. Yeah.
So whenever I do it, it's like, that's a big pleasure. You should think of that as a pleasure that I've walked my ass up here to do this, because not everybody gets that. But at the same time, I think my problem is that a lot of things that I like coincide with the podcast is personal information or personal things that have happened in my life. So when somebody criticizes it, I'm like, oh great, like they're pretty much saying like my life shit, so no thanks. Like I don't want to do this anymore. Well, like I can take criticism all day long from, you know, I can go get it off the streets if I want it. I don't need no fucking internet troll doing it to me, thank you though. Well, like, and enjoy yourself.
Anyone that does listen and that has stuck around for even more than three episodes, they I feel like they get it, they get our humor. And just like, I think they'll get your show's humor. And, you know, so that's why I hope that our listeners, I hope everyone listening right now goes and listens to the Slothman Prophecies. Do you want to give like social media and stuff? That
Plug
way?
Yourself, sir.
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at SlothPod. I'm at least as big a Twitter addict as Toby. So you can just interact with both of us on there.
Just tag us both.
You can also follow our producer, Catthulhu, at Catthulhu Photogon. You can figure out how to spell it yourself. And you can send us a Gmail at slothpod@gmail.com. And we're the Slothman Prophecies. And we are doing our Fiestaween specials, I guess, this whole month. And for Fiestaween, we're donating all the proceeds from our TeePublic store to Hurricane Florence relief, because we're both from North Carolina. So if you liked me, go listen to our show real quick, and then before the end of October, buy a bunch of swag. You can get tapestries. I can't wait for somebody to buy a tapestry.
I love tapestries.
And then, yeah, you'll be helping a good cause at the same time.
Hell yeah, that's a really good thing. I wish we were smart enough to think of that. We may have to talk off air.
So he's trying to make me get some burnt ass taste buds by doing some kind of
let me say this real quick. I do want to do a fundraiser. Haven't figured out all the details. I was going to try to do it throughout November.
This was back when Rudy was here, so we all had this big old plan.
Yeah, and I was going to make Kristen eat something really hot, and if we reached a certain goal, my long beautiful locks were going to be up for grabs to be donated to a
Wigs for Kids.
Well, is that the one?
Yes.
Okay, Wigs for Kids. And we're still talking about it. Hopefully we'll get the ball rolling on that. So, yeah.
Well, definitely. Let me know if you guys do something like that, because I would eat a hot thing or something. I don't want to steal your thing, Kristen, but
No, I mean, we may reach out and challenge other podcasts. Yeah, we could do a podcast.
I think it'd be great if any other podcasters are out there and they want to join in and they know a good cause, just like the hurricane one. I think that's a great one. But we'll talk more off mic on that one, but
for sure,
I guess for this episode, let's all say bye. I guess
bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye, my
no
lovers.
No one cared. We could have done every day without that.
And that's gonna do it for this week's episode. We'd like to thank Carl from the Slothman Prophecies. Make sure you go check out that show. I love that show. I really think you should go check it out. And tweet at him at SlothPod. Let him know, hey, heard you on the transmissions. I like your style. Or something. I don't know. I'm not a wordsmith. But you can follow us on all the social media platforms, like Instagram and Twitter at Secret Transpod. We have a Facebook page, a Facebook group. Like them. Do all the stuff. We've got more spooky stuff coming up for this month, so be on the lookout for the next couple of weeks of episodes. We are going to be taking a semi-break in November and December. We're going to go to a bi-weekly schedule for just November and December, and then January, we're going to be back on track with our weekly releases. We're just going to slow down for the holiday season, but then we'll be back to it. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to our Patreon. It is patreon.com/secrettransmission. You can donate, and we'd appreciate it. Or if you want to support the show by buying a t-shirt, You can go to tpublic.com/user/secret-transmission and check out all of our wonderful designs. Check out some of the shows that are part of the Dark Myths. Go to darkmyths.org. Check out some of the great shows. There's Rumor Flies, Blurry Photos, Zang This, Historical Blindness, Hillbilly Horror Stories, Graveyard Tales, a bunch of great shows. Go check them out. And also, we are part of the Somebody's Network. And there's some awesome shows on there. Best Darn Diddly, The Derailers, Random Ramblings with Rob, Throwdown Thursday, The Cretans Guild's Nerd or Not. Go check them out. All those shows. Follow the Somebody's Network on Twitter and Instagram at Somebody's Net. And that's SomeBuddiesNet. But that's going to do it for this week's episode. We appreciate you listening, and we hope you come back and listen to us try to explain the unexplainable. She took a big drag off her e-cig and she was holding it in that whole time.
I did it right in the middle, you bastard.
I just saw you go ahead and suck it in. I was like, well, okay, we'll just see if this works. That's enough time, though.
Oh, dang.
I could just see her, like, the little bit of smoke come out of her mouth.
I think I swallowed all the rest of it. Breathed it in. I don't know.
Jesus. All right, let's see.
Time to say goodbye, Roger.